if somebody on my team
sounds back. Okay, so can y'all hear me now? All right, they can hear me now. Okay. All right. If you'll just wait, yeah. Just put him in Logan's room. That way he won't bother me. Don't close that door because then he'll just crawl at it. Okay.
All right.
Thank you for being patient. We had storms here last night, so I think we had a power outage and my entire system shut down. And when the entire system shuts down, it doesn't boot up and play very well. It takes everything out of the mix. All right. Let me do a couple of announcements and then we will get started. Whoever is listening from my team on this, will you make sure that you put that for the first 2 minutes, there may be no sound. So just fast forward in the show notes so that people aren't emailing us in saying that there's no sound. That will be super helpful. It is nice to have tech in the house, y'all. Very nice. All right. Announcements. Number one is today's opening day for No BS. So we are going to have a lot of newbies coming through. They do not get access to the Facebook group until they've completed module one. So don't be looking for them. Some of them will be a little eager beavers. They may even be on this call right now. They may finish No BS module one in a day. Some of them do, but it'll probably be around this weekend when you start seeing the majority of them. So just make sure you're welcoming them. And just remember what it was like when you first joined. You know, when you first joined, you were full of doubt. You were probably a little bit nervous, a little bit excited. Just think about how our brains work. It was a swirl of emotion. Like 1 minute you're on fire and the next minute you're wondering, what the fuck have I even done to myself? The next minute you think your diet mentality's back. The next minute you're back into No BS woman mode. It's very schizophrenic in the brain, right? So they're going to come in. Here's what they're not going to know. They are not going to know that all of this is just their thoughts. So just remember that they just tell them that it's normal. Remind them that this is how it always feels in the beginning and that it smooths out over time. So the other thing, just register for a race. Oh, that's good for you. So here's the other thing. Camp is also open. And I want to make sure you guys know that starting this weekend, we have these new camp bonuses that are happening. Every single week, we're going to do something called a co-planning session. So if you've not heard about it, you can go to the announcements in the Facebook group or you can listen to the Private Mirror podcast. I talked about them last week and I wanted to offer these for this particular camp because it's ending self-sabotage. And I want all of you who are coming to really come to camp, having these co-planning sessions each week where you're looking at your week, you're making plans and you're noticing what's working and what's not at a richer, deeper level. So that by the time you get to camp, you've cleaned up some of the easy stuff because co-planning sessions with the coaches are going to help you clean a lot of the low-hanging fruit up. But then you'll come to camp with the things that tend to get you stuck, that tend to, like, you just keep doing even though you don't want to do them. And that will give you exactly what you need to work on all the way through how I've designed camp. So the sooner you register for camp, the more of those you get and the more practice you get at cleaning up low-hanging fruit and figuring out your sticking points. So if you want information about camp, all you got to do is go on over to pnptribe.com, log into the membership site. There is a button for events. You get all the information you want about camp and all the things. The other thing I want to tell everyone is that if you are coming in person, you want to come in person, now that the vaccinations are rolling out so hard and strong, we have decided that you still need to be completely vaccinated by the time you come to camp. You just need to have all your vaccinations finished by April 30th. So if you want to go ahead and register because you have your vaccination scheduled, your second dose scheduled and stuff, you can go ahead and do that now. We just have so many of you on a wait list. I just really want to make sure that we are able to get as many spots opened up available as we want people, as we have people wanting to come. So we've just decided to go ahead and let you guys go ahead and just register, knowing that you'll get that second shot and you can send in your documentation after you're finished. I also have been getting some questions about the vaccination. Why did I choose to do a vaccination only camp? This is not to open up into comments about your opinions and stuff. So please feel free to just keep your opinion to yourself. I'm going to give you my opinion. For this particular one, we had to make a decision right when vaccinations were starting to roll out. We had no idea how anything was going to look. Just imagine this last year. Guess what? Corinne is no longer just betting on what we think will happen. Corinne is now in the mindset of making the best decision with the information that she has available to her. And here's how I wanted to do the first one. Play it extremely safe. Pure and simple. I always have to take my team and your safety at the utmost concern. So for everyone, I understand there may be some people who do not want to vaccinate. This does not mean that every event in the future has to be vaccinated. But for this one, it was my choice. And it really came from the heart of, I'm just going to try to keep as many people safe as possible, because we didn't know jack shit when Corinne was having to make this decision in early February. So, as always, I appreciate everyone being fluid and understanding and knowing that all of this, you know, like the way that we've been rolling with things this last year, it's always changing. And I hope that you have watched me this last year and seen that I pivot and I change very well. I have always been somebody who doesn't get scared of what's fixing to happen. I figure out what is the best decision we can make in this moment. And then we're going to live by it, and we're going to honor it, and we're never going to regret it. And that's what I always try to teach you guys. All right. So that takes care of that. The exciting news for April. Here we are, fresh crop of newbies. On Sunday, I am doing a huge orientation call for our newbies. They're all going to get to come. It's going to be a live, like, let's get it together. Let's figure out what our next best steps are. For a current No BS woman, this is a really good opportunity for you to do it like it was the first time. So whether you have, you know, maybe something came up in your life and you kind of need just a little reset, or maybe you've been rocking and rolling and you're like, I love going back to the basics. I love starting from scratch over and over and over again, because every time I do, I learn and level up just a little bit more. I invite you to Sunday's noon call, Central Time, where I'm going to kick us off. The entire month of April is dedicated to the No BS Weight Loss Program. All of our calls are all about No BS, the four basics, all about what we learn in No BS. We are going to make sure that we are doubling down on all things No BS all month long. You don't need to sign up. You don't need to do anything in particular. You don't need, like, is there a plan? It's the same ass plan that always is. Show up on Sunday's call or listen to the replay. Go to module one, lesson one of No BS, push play. And then push play over and over and over again as you have time throughout the week, and do the work that I tell you. That is it. That is always how No BS works. Whenever you're like, I don't know, so well, I don't know where to start. Yeah, you do. I just told you. You go to No BS and you start at lesson one. Anybody who's ever overwhelmed, off the rails, any of that kind of horseshit, please don't tell yourself, I don't know where to start. It's like, it would be like going to the Monopoly board and seeing all the spots and being like, where the fuck do you start? You start where it says go. That is always lesson one of No BS. At any time you're lost or confused, you always go back to lesson one and you start there. And you listen to those. And then step two, you write a fucking plan every day. Every day of your life. When you've lost all your weight and you feel amazing and you're super confident and stuff, If you don't want to make a plan then don't. But until that moment arrives, quit arguing with yourself about it. Give yourself a fighting chance for it to work rather than fighting with yourself about what you don't want to do. So we all going to do it like it's the first time next month. That is what we're doing in April. We're going to focus on no BS. There ain't a damn soul in this membership that is above it. Even my coaches go back and redo the no BS. The motherfucking coaches can go back and redo no BS. I know every damn member here can too. I do no BS every day. I'm the damn creator. If I'm not too good for it, you are for sure not like, I'm a loser because I'm redoing no BS. Like, no, you're not. You're smart if you're redoing no BS. You're taking care of yourself if you're doing no BS. You're beyond making excuses if you are redoing no BS. You are done sitting in a diaper about whatever's going on in your life when you're redoing no BS. Let's just tell the damn truth. Let's stop lying and acting like pity parties, sitting around feeling sorry for ourselves, is the currency to our weight loss. We don't do that around here. No more, y'all. You've got to stop it. And when your brain wants to do it, you're like, it's a no. It is a no. Like, at some point, you don't need a better thought. You don't need happy thoughts. You don't need anything. You know what you need? You need to take a firm hand with yourself and say, like, that thinking is a no. Quit buying into it. Quit acting like it's the truth. Quit acting like there's something wrong with you, that you're broken. Quit looking for pity. From yourself. It's such a waste of time. And then you guys are just acting as if, like, that's just, like, well, my shitty thoughts are here. I guess I just have to wallow in them. No, you don't. Not one second, ma'am. You will have crappy thoughts. It's called being human. It's called how your brain works. It's called this is going to happen for the rest of your life. Your job is to quit believing them. Feeling sorry. Like, think about it. When you believe it, you feel like crap. When you feel sorry for yourself, you feel like crap. When you wish it would go away, you feel like crap. When you do all of that, that's why you feel like crap. Our old shitty thoughts are not a problem until you have thoughts about them that make them a problem. That's how we stall out. That's how we loop. That's how we get caught up in frustrating questions like, why am I unable to do this? Why do I always go backward? What, like, we ask these questions, like, why am I so broken? What's wrong with me? We ask these questions, like, you guys literally will ask these questions, and rather than saying, well, that's a stupid question to ask, here's what I should ask. What can I do for myself today? I wonder why this behavior's come back. There must be something I'm needing right now. If it's not food, what is it? When you have a shit question come in the door, don't just let it lay there dormant as if it really needs a good answer. No, it doesn't. Ask a better question. If you don't know how, say, like, I think this might be one of the pointless ass questions Corinne's always telling me about. Anybody got a suggestion of what I could ask myself to get my brain working in the direction I would love it to be going in? And then guess what you do? Shock, shock, dismay, dismay. As we're wrapping up journaling month, you're going to write about the answers to really good questions that get you thinking in the direction you would like to go into. That's how we break cycles and loops and spirals and all that other kind of shit. All right? I don't know how I got off on that rant, but I think I was talking about camp. I was talking about no BS. So as a wrap, Sunday noon, Central Time, join me for the newbie orientation. Will not hurt any of you to come to it. I'm going to talk about best ways to get started, how to reduce overwhelm, what to pay attention to, how fast you should go, all that kind of stuff. I'm going to answer all the things. Then, if you are going to come to self-sabotage camp, or you want to come to self-sabotage camp, whether it's in person or virtual, join so that on Sunday, let me tell you what time the calls are. I always forget the time of the calls. I'll tell you in just a second. Starting Sunday at 2 p.m. Central Time, the camp co-planning calls will begin. So if you're going to want to come to camp, you want to go ahead and get signed up so that you don't miss out. For all of you who are new, it's a three-day virtual or in-person event. You can go to the membership site and you can read all about it there. It's underneath events. I hope most of you come. It's going to be off the chain. Okay. That's the big things. Let me get to my questions so we can get going. All right. Somebody said, successful people do not wait to feel good to do good things for them. Exactly. I just started this last week and have been feeling overwhelmed with so much info. This is perfect. Modules and plans. Don't rush myself. No, modules and plans, y'all. Modules and plans. That's it. When I'm busy at work or on home projects, I frequently skip lunch. It's no big deal because I'm never super hungry. But when it's time for dinner, I find myself cleaning my plate with a thought, I was so good today. I worked through lunch. Look, we need to, like, this is what we need to do. When we hear that thought, we need to remind ourselves, oh, wait, I wasn't so good to, like, working through lunch and skipping a meal doesn't make you good. That didn't make you a better person. We just want to cleanse that thought. So when you hear it in your mind, of, oh, wait, no, that's not what happened. Today I worked through lunch. It has nothing to do with my self-worth. It has nothing to do with being good. Those are, like, you have to start disconnecting those two ideas. We don't want to have a different thought. We just want to, like, make sure that particular thought is now getting caught. So I want you to think, I want you to take a second and take a bow to yourself because you are catching the dialogue now. And now what we want to do is start cleaning up the dialogue. It's like, all right, today I worked through lunch. That has nothing to do with me being good or bad. It just means I worked through lunch. And this meal is this meal. So we want to neutralize everything. The other thing was it's fine to finish these bites. I didn't have lunch. This is another neutralizer. When you think that, you want to remind yourself, like, oh, wait, no. I'm supposed to eat until I'm satisfied or until I've had enough. These last few bites are likely to have me eating past enough. So it's just when you start, now that you notice that these are the thoughts, you want to remember, all right, now it's my job to hear them a little sooner, pay a little closer attention, be on the lookout for them. The other thing that you can do is you can take my advice on how to shift those thoughts just a little bit. And before you eat, especially when you know that you have skipped lunch and you know that that is a trigger. So very often when we are experiencing urges, so when you guys get to module 3 of No BS, we talk about cues and triggers and urges, cravings. We start really getting into the setup of, like, what all is going on that drives us to overeat. Because the other stuff that we're learning the basics so that it spotlights when we are. Like, if I'm not doing the basics, I'm probably doing some overeat, right? Module 2 is all about how we think through things. You've got to really understand your thoughts and that they are sentences. You got to understand your feelings. You have to understand the think, feel, do cycle. But that all sets you up to give you the idea of, like, all right, here's what I'm going to do. And anything outside of that is what I'm, like, is my work to work on. Here's how I think. And now that I know that I actually can control some of my thinking, that I am in charge of my thinking and stuff, what module 3 does is it comes in and it starts showing you, like, how all this starts working together. So for you, what you have discovered is that for an overeating trigger that happens, like, at, let's say, 6 o'clock at night, it actually starts at noon. So you skip lunch. You can bet that every time you skip lunch, that by the time you get to dinner, your brain is going to naturally want to say these things, and it's going to want to eat, because once it eats, you're going to feel relaxed. You're going to feel the dopamine of the food. Like, there's no downside right after that. you complete the loop. And it's like, oh, here I am. I had my trigger, which is, you know, I didn't eat. The cue is dinner. And then you get your thoughts, and then you reward yourself with the food, which says, all right, this right here that's going on, you should fucking do that more often. Like, we get us a little extra. We feel rewarded. Like, your brain is just high on life. But the problem is that tomorrow morning or an hour later or whenever your conscious brain is like, oh, my God. We were going to be losing weight this week. I just noticed an ovary. That's surely going to slow us down if we keep that behavior. Then that's when the next thing filled do cycle starts, where we are like, oh, not necessarily helpful. So you have your cue, and what you want to do is you want to start noticing on the days that you skip lunch, you want to take some time to tell yourself, after you skip lunch, this has nothing to do with how much food I'm going to eat tonight. I bet that I can still eat according to the doable hunger method tonight. You have to start setting it up. You have to start giving your brain directions just a little bit. This doesn't mean you got to take a 20-minute siesta, meditate, smoke some dope and stuff, and get into your right mindset. It means on the days that you skip lunch, you need to write on a sticky note that I skipped lunch. I'm likely to have be queued up tonight to want to eat more. And that has nothing to do with this. Then what happens is that when you go to dinner, if you need to set an alarm on your phone to remind you, before you eat, you want to have a conscious moment where you're like, okay, I'm likely to have these thoughts about eating more. I'm likely to want to, you know, to finish it up. I'm likely to tell myself I've been good. And that's all the thinking that I'm unwinding. So I'm going to eat and pay extra attention. And all it takes is a few times of doing that to start breaking the connection chain between skipping lunch and overeating at dinner. It's literally that simple. If you will do those things, you will start seeing that untie and untether. Now, here's the thing. It doesn't mean that every single time you do this process, that at dinner, every single time, you don't end up wanting to keep eating. Here's what I want all of you to know. About half the time, it's going to work. The other half of the time, it's not, because you're still getting used to breaking the pattern. Your brain is probably going to come up with a couple of other extra sentences. So we don't sit around and do this. I get to feel good when it works, and when it doesn't, I get to go to the narrative, this isn't working. I must be so broken. I don't understand why I can't get shit. That's called wasting your time with self-loathing. Here's what's going to happen. Sometimes your brain is going to give you extra sentences. You have to keep saying, and we're not going to eat. It'll be okay. I'm unlearning this pattern. If you end up eating, you need to figure out, okay, what sentence then got me to continue to eat even though I did all this other stuff? Because now that sentence is the one that needs to you get super aware of so that you can keep operating at 50%, knowing you're making progress. And then you start listening for that sentence. And then you have something to say after that one. And eventually what happens is, when you keep having an answer for your brain that just wants to eat over and over again, guess what ends up happening? Your habit brain finally will quit asking, because it will notice that all you do is keep coming back with a new thought. And it starts to think, you must want to think those things more often. You must not want to reward yourself with food now. Here's the last critical part, and I'm going to be teaching this in Ending Self-Sabotage. We do not do enough of this around here, which is you have to make sure that the times that it works, that you don't say something like, well, thank God that worked, or good, hope I can keep this up. You have got to find excitement, pleasure, and reward in you changing your behavior. And I noticed this happen a lot with you guys, which is, well, I'm no longer talking to myself like an asshole, but I'm not exactly talking great to myself. And then I wonder why I want to go back to food. Because if you can't create some delight, some pleasure, some reward or something in your life around you, if you just take the negativity away, you're not exactly getting what you want, which is a leveled up life. You're not getting the peace and the comfort and the pride and all the other stuff. That happens through a series of the way that you start talking to yourself. So if you really want your brain to want to make it easy for you to leave food behind after you've skipped a meal, you have to make it a big fucking deal when you follow through. Immense pride. A lot of excitement, those kinds of things. Yes, I know this is foggy. I'm trying to get the camera to clean up a little bit. It's just, I hope that's better. I think my camera today is just like a little, like literally, I think one of my settings is off because my computer had shut down. We are experiencing all the tech issues today. So there you go. That's about as clean as I can get it though with us on our call. Okay. Let's take a look at the next question. If you are going to prioritize, what four basics should I work on first, second, third, fourth? Is one more important than the other? Do you work on all of them at once? I work on them all at once because it doesn't overwhelm me. I just figure, like, water and sleep for me are the easiest ones. I mean, I just keep water with me at all times. I don't need a special plan. I don't need to do anything. I just need to make sure my water is with me all times. So that's an easy one. It's not like you need tons of brain power to do that one. Sleep is kind of the same way for me. It's like, just got to go to bed. Got to go to bed. If you're only getting 6 hours of sleep, then for this week, back your bedtime up 10 minutes. That'll give you 6 hours and 10 minutes of sleep every single day. Then next week, give yourself another 10 minutes. I think you can back it up without a lot of effort and stuff. Then, I like, if I was going to choose between the plan and eating until enough and eating until satisfied, I would probably start, I would honestly, guys, I would start with planning. And let me tell you why. I think it's important for you guys to use my planner because it's going to combine some of the thought work. It's going to make you think about your goals each day. It's going to make you answer a couple questions like, what can I do today to wait for hunger? What might get in my way? It just gets your brain thinking. Most of us are spending all of our time like not thinking through life. We're just reacting. And the real purpose of the 60-day planner that I give you guys is to get you thinking a little bit more positively and a little bit more future-focused about your life and about your day ahead of you. It's also there to break some of the chains of thinking that, like most of us who come to PN or come to NoBS, we sit around and we think about what's wrong with life most of the time. And that's just how the human brain works. It doesn't mean that you're just sitting around all day long acting like an asshole, but you'll like look at things and like, well, I wish I looked like her. You know, I wish traffic was, you know, not as busy today. I can't wait to get off work. Some of us don't even realize the low level residue that we do all day long. When we really get good at thinking about our life, we could completely level it up. Like if I'm sitting at traffic, I'm not going to sit there and dwell on wishing that there was less traffic. I'm going to be sitting there and thinking about what I'm going to do when I get home. Who am I going to say hello to first? What am I proud of about myself for the day? I mean, you can sit there and wish, grouse, and moan about the traffic, or you can use it as time to practice gratitude, excitement for your life, trying to figure out what's right in it right now, get excited about your future, think about like how you want like this week to go in your mind. We don't even realize all the little moments that we miss out on And that's when I would start with planning. But there's no right or wrong. Honestly, just do fucking something. At the end of the day, just do something. Deep down, I don't believe I can create permanent weight loss. How do you make weight loss permanent? Number one is you have to have the idea that you're open to believing you can. So for some of you, I'm going to keep working on this while we're talking. For some of you, what is important is to realize that you don't need to believe that you're going to lose your weight for good on day one, but you need to stop believing that it's impossible. That it could happen. It's happened for other people. It's just not happened for you yet versus I have failed in the past. There are a lot of little things that you can do and that you can think about permanent weight loss now rather than just like, well, I'm just sitting here believing that I can't. So I'm going to try to make myself do all the stuff Corinne says while feeling really crappy that it's probably never going to happen for me. And the problem comes, and this is something that we'll do at camp in the self-sabotage thing, is that when you really believe that you can't lose weight and you're not actively working on changing it, you will blow up your success. So some people will develop a fear of success because as they're losing weight, every single time something good happens, it triggers insecurity in them. So their brain starts offering up like, well, I don't know if you can keep this going. I mean, you've never really been able to keep it off. I mean, remember the last time you were here? Your brain, if you allow yourself to just keep thinking that you probably won't versus maybe I can. I'm taking this one day at a time. I've seen other people do it. Unless you're consciously working on that belief, then guess what? Success becomes a trigger for insecurity. More success means more insecurity grows. That's why we want to work on these beliefs from the get-go. This is why I tell you guys, hey, if you follow your plan for the day, over fucking celebrate. Cheerlead like a motherfucker. You got like 50 years of believing some horseshit. You're going to have to talk loud and proud and it feel gross and like it's too much and like you don't deserve to have this kind of like good feelings yet because you haven't met this goal. You got to override all that. There is no downside to cheerleading yourself along the way. The other thing that can happen is if you have a lack of belief, I'll just read you what the workbook says. When you believe that you aren't able to lose weight or that you will fail no matter what, you start behaving in a way that ensures your failures. You don't make your food plans. You don't keep foods in the house that help you make good choices. You don't keep foods in the house that you get tempted around and practice eating them. Or you don't tell people around you how they actually could be helping you. You just assume no one wants to. It's very easy when you have a lack of belief to justify procrastination on things like listening to your Nobius lessons or not preparing foods that are good for you. Or let's say making a doable 24-hour plan. It's easy to procrastinate doing it because you think it won't work anyway. Might as well skip today. And that's all because you don't believe anything's going to work. And then when you do fail, this is the real problem that arises. When you do fail, the blame for the failure is given to not your belief. You start blaming that your life's hard right now. Lots of changes going on. Well, you know it's COVID. Well, I don't have enough time. I got my kids at home. And I just have all these people in my life that get in my way. The problem with a lack of belief means that when things don't work out, it causes you to take no responsibility for you not believing in yourself in the first place. So that's a couple of things. So it's really good for you to start making sure that if you want your weight loss to be permanent, what we teach inside of No BS is on the way down, we have to change our thinking that we have all along. So that's module 2 of No BS. Once you get through No BS, you start listening to all the coaching calls and you start listening to these Q&As. My live Q&As, the replay of Q&As, live coaching calls, the replays of the coaching calls. None of that should be done at the expense of finishing No BS. Because everything that we talk about in these calls are built on the foundation of what you learn inside that course. So if you are new, or it's been a minute since you've listened, and this is like, I don't really understand what you're talking about, you should stop. You should log into the website. You should pull up the No BS weight loss course. And you should listen to the lessons that explain all of these concepts and teach you. And then when you're ready to come back to live trainings and replays, you're really ready to take it in. This is the part that you don't need right now. It's the part to ignore. It's the part to set aside for the foundations. So to make it permanent, you do what I tell you inside of No BS. You actually do some journaling. You figure out, what are my thoughts? What could I be thinking? You do your planner each day, because in the planner, I start having you think in a way through my guided questions that don't keep you stuck in your dirty diaper, that keep you from sitting around feeling sorry for yourself when you could be sitting around learning how to empower yourself. I still am not really understanding the purpose of the plan. If we get to write down everything we want to eat, why write it down? Why not just go ahead and eat whenever we're hungry and stop when full? And what's the big deal if we eat something different than what's on the plan? How does our body know we didn't plan that from the start? What am I missing? Your body won't know the difference at all. But here's what does happen. When you don't write it down ahead of time, and you eat whatever you want in the moment, you're going to be eating according to your feelings in the moment. And unless you're a feelings master, it's not going to work quite well for you. You're not going to make choices that you would have made if you'd been thinking about it first thing in the morning and considering, what is my day likely to be like? What is the easiest way for me to lose weight? What are the things I want to try today? What are the things I don't want to include today? What are the things I do want to include? When you're consciously planning for the day, you're taking your immediate whims, insecurities, stressors, anxieties, wants, urges, cravings, and desires. You're removing all of that noise, and you're planning for what we call the best self, the one that gives a shit about you today and the you tomorrow. So we always want to plan from that mindset so that throughout the rest of the day, if we don't want to eat according to that person, then we have something to think about. It's like, I wonder why that what sounded good this morning, no, if it's not just because of the taste, I wonder why it's not sounding good now. What feeling is driving this? I just want it is a thought. Why do I just want this now? Versus what my best self this morning, who loved me, who was thinking about everything that I want, not only to love her food, but love her life. Why would I eat against that now? It's just good to know. That's why we plan. It's like the measuring stick to make sure that we're not eating according to a bad day, stress, traffic, it's free, just want to, need to blow off some steam. I love it when y'all are like, I just need to take a break. Break from what? That is such a trigger thought. It's like whenever you hear, I just ate because I just needed a break. You owe it to yourself to ask yourself, a break from what? Why am I thinking that food is the break? Why can't I create the break in my mind? Where is the break in my brain? If I was going to be telling myself something that relaxed me, relieved me, comforted me, gave me a break, what thinking would I stop and what thinking would I insert? That's why we plan. Because if you're just eating according to what you want, you're never given the opportunity to do that. That takes consciousness to do it. And the majority of our life is going to be very unconscious living. It's going to be very autopilot living, just going through the day and reacting. I'm trying to teach you how to quit reacting throughout your life and start creating the life that you want with food, in your relationships, and in how you think and live. In the beginning, how much time should the planning and journaling take? I feel like I'm sitting and filling out paperwork forever and don't understand why it takes so long. You make it sound so fast and easy. What am I doing wrong? You probably have some thoughts like, this is like paperwork. I've never been anywhere and thought this is like paperwork and then felt like it went fast, felt like it was easy or enjoyable. Now, if you sat down like I do every day when I'm journaling, I'm like, this is fucking my time. This is the one time a day I know I'm first. I get mine. No one else has a say-so in this. Like, I literally think about my journaling and my food planning that way. I never sit around and indulge in thinking I have to. It's always I get to. I never sit there and think that this is such a grind. I always remind myself, no, it's not a grind. You know what this is? The epitome of self-care. I'm cleaning my brain out. The very thing that generates every feeling that goes through this body, the very thing that controls my destiny. Like, I'm not going to sit there and think about this like an asshole. So that's number one. It will never feel like a grind or like paperwork when you change your thoughts about it. Number two, when I make my food plan, I give myself 2 minutes. I don't overthink it. I'm like, if I'm having to think about it harder than that, I'm probably trying to sit there and game my own system. I'm just like, all right, Corinne, what do you need today? What do you want on the plan? What's going to be good? Like, I will tell you guys, I'll be super honest. Do you know what my breakfast plan today was? Let me just tell you. So when we open, I'm a little bit busier, if you can imagine, than I normally am. I not only keep up my schedule with all of you guys, which is what I would consider a nice amount of time I spend with you every single week. I mean, I'm with you guys 2 to 4 times live every single week. So I'm going to maintain my normal schedule for y'all. Check in the Facebook group just like I always do. I'm going to have to do all my other shit that I do just to keep the lights on around here. And I got to be a mama with a kid who wants my time. I still got to put out for the king, or otherwise we ain't going to have much of a marriage, because y'all know how he rolls. And then I got to do all this other stuff for this group over here of women who need me to show up 200% because they barely believe in themselves 10%. So today I wake up at 4 to get started, do all my normal stuff, start planning my food at 6:30. Because I know I've got from 6:30 to 7:30 to take care of Corinne today. The rest of the day, I'm fine with taking care of everybody else. But I gave myself an hour today. That includes a workout, makeup, shower, and breakfast, and journaling and planning. That takes a very conscious decision to make, to say, I will give myself an hour, and I will find the time, and this is when it will happen. So when I planned food today, I planned a Halo Top ice cream for breakfast because I knew it would taste good. It was quick and didn't need any preparation. And before I kicked off the entire day, I was like, this is easy. This is tasty. This will do the job. Ice cream for breakfast. I'm just always trying to make things easy on myself. Now, I could have had eggs and all the other stuff. I didn't want that shit today. Guess what I'm having for lunch? I'm sure it'll be a shock when I say a Weight Watchers pizza and my favorite watermelon. Why? Because I like my dry-ass Weight Watchers pizzas. Y'all all know me. They are delicious to me. And the watermelon's pre-cut from Publix. The pizza takes 2.5 minutes. But I want energy today. So I want lots of carbs today. I got a lot to do today. And guess what dinner is? Subway. Why? I don't want a lot of vegetables today. I don't want JJ food today. I literally plan today knowing I'm going to have a day where I'm going to be pulled in a lot of directions. And all I want is easy food and food that I will enjoy and I will make time to eat. Is that the world's most perfect, healthy? I'm going to get an award for all my clean eating shit. It's a no. But I feel real satisfied. And that's the only person who gives a fuck. You should be the same way. We plan with compassion. And it took me 2 minutes to get that done. And then I filled out the rest of it. You know what I did? I didn't struggle with like my whys and stuff. Only because I've done that for so long, it's now easy to do it. So I will say, when you first start your planning, set a timer first for your food planning to keep you out of overthinking like your shoulds, I should be. It would be really easy for me to sit around and think about all the things I should be eating because I'm y'all's leader. I just don't do it. It's never going to help me, and it's for sure not going to help you. Not for 1 minute. What you think you should be doing helps no one. So don't do it to yourself. And then for the rest of the journal, just know it gets faster. At first, if you're not used to figuring out what you're grateful for, if you're not used to thinking about what you like about yourself, yeah, it's going to feel a little long at first. That should be an indicator to keep going. If it's taken you a long time, that means you haven't been doing it. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. It doesn't mean that you should know how to do it. It means you haven't been doing it. Now's the time to get good at it. So don't feel bad if it's taking you a few minutes in the beginning. Look forward to when you can blow through your planner so fast because you know exactly what you like about yourself. Because you have written things down so much about why things are important, what your goals are, what you're grateful for. You've assessed so much, like being looking forward to the day that shit's easy because you've taught yourself that all that's true. Last question. I'm noticing that when I started making my 24-hour plans, following them and removing the anxiety around food, a lot of other emotions started bubbling to the surface, like other things in my life that I'm unhappy about that maybe I've been turning to food to control and comfort myself. Why is this happening and how do I stop it? Is this normal? First of all, it's normal. You don't want to stop this. This is called the part of life you were always meant to be feeling and you ate through them. There's two ways to stop it. Number one, just go back to eating. Let's just not choose that one. Option A, let's take that off the table. Option two is to start feeling the feelings and understand what thoughts are causing them. So that's module two of No BS. So as you notice, it's like, ooh, I think like I've been feeling bad. I'm feeling this now. I'm feeling that now. Now you start going, all right. One of the easiest journaling exercises to ever do is yesterday, the feeling I felt most was, and if, remember, a feeling is one word, not sentences. It's one word. So it's like yesterday, the feeling I felt most was stress, gratitude, joy, sadness, whatever it may be, anxiety. So you pick a feeling. And then you write for a couple minutes on the reason why I think I was feeling that way is because, and you take a lot of guesses and you just kind of write about it. Sometimes we know. All right. So sometimes it's like, oh, I know why I was stressed. I was thinking, and always start with because I was thinking. So that you know that everything after that is not the facts of your life. Like, my boss was an asshole is not a fact. Or my boss said a bunch of shit they shouldn't have said to me. That's not a fact. That's the thoughts that were pissing me off. That's the thoughts that were stressing me out. Now, when you write, you get the opportunity. It's because I was thinking, and you just start writing. Then you go back and you're like, all right, so if that was the feeling I felt yesterday, what are the actual facts? So if you know what your boss actually said, the sentence is a fact. And everything you thought about it is a thought that stressed you out. So that is where you start making some traction. And that's how you start like figuring out, all right, now that I'm not eating, I now have room to feel and think about things that I've been avoiding for a long time. Now, here's the trick. When you start this, your thoughts and feelings, I'm going to tell you right now, are all okay. Not a single one of them is bad. Not a single one of them is broken. Not a single one of them is like, oh my God, I must be crazy. Oh my God. Like, sometimes when you first start that, there's some shock and awe over your thinking. And it's only because you've never listened or you've never been told that it's just your thinking. What we don't want to do is judge ourselves. So there are lessons inside of modules 2 and 3 of No BS where I talk about being the scientist versus the judge. I want you to think about when you start looking at how you think and feel, like, think about this. There's how you think and feel. We'll use my pretty lid to one of my water bottles. Sorry. This is how you think and feel. Like, you're looking down on it. All right. This is the collection of how your brain works. When you look down on it, you can look at the collection of how your brain works and think, oh my God, there's something wrong with you. You should never think like that. I can't believe it. No wonder you're such a fucking loser. Like, you can look down on your thoughts and be a complete butt to yourself about it. That in and of itself will feel really bad. And if you do that, guess what you'll want to do? You'll be like, well, let me just go shut these thoughts off again so I don't have to feel so bad. What we want to do is we want to look at our thoughts, not look down on ourselves for them. We want to look at them. It's like, okay, now I understand why I feel the way I do. And all of this that I'm thinking, I've got control over it. Because if it came into my brain, that means it lives inside. And what lives inside, I get to change over time the more that I look and listen and rethink things. And that's the important part. And that's what we're doing here. Because when you, it's not enough, like, diets fail us because what they do is they take away all of the food, but they don't teach us what's left behind and what to do with it. They're like, no. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take away the food. I'm going to leave you sitting here with your shitty judgments about the world and yourself. Just whatever you do, don't eat through that. Like, I know you're going to feel bad and scared and worry you can't lose weight. You're going to like have all these thoughts, but that's okay because the day you lose weight, you're going to feel so much better. And so what we do is we suffer our way along and then we lose weight. And guess what? Any kind of thought processes you have, the inside job doesn't change because the weight's gone. Now you just start worrying you can't keep it off. Worrying if people think you're too thin. Wondering if people are sitting there doubting if you'll be able to keep it off. Like, if you've been like sitting around worried about what people think of you overweight, well, now you'll just trade that in for worrying what they think about you as a thin person. Whatever we do at any size, that thinking comes along for the ride with us no matter what size we are. That's why I start shifting all of your thinking along the way so that you're no longer looking down on yourself when you're overweight. You're looking at the thoughts you have about your body, about your size, about your abilities, about your capabilities. We start tinkering with them so that when you lose your weight, you get to keep all of that. Okay, that is it today. Welcome to my newbies. For all of you that's been around, don't forget, anybody who wants to join us noon Sunday for the big kickoff call, please come. I know it's Easter Sunday. Please remember that we have a worldwide community here. Not everybody celebrates the Easter. So no matter what, as we say here at No BS, we're team no holidays around here. We just work. And we're just here for all of you amongst all the variety of holidays, all the variety of cultures and places and things that you guys celebrate and don't celebrate and stuff. So if you are like baby Jesus, Easter Sunday, all the things, you will have the replay. You never have to worry about something not being recorded and you being able to watch it when you want. It will either go into your private member podcast player and it will also go into your video replays. So do like most people around here. If you're new and you want to watch some of these calls, you want to listen to things, we have about 400 of the 10,000 members on every call. Just goes to show that the vast majority of people are replaying. So don't be worrying that you're getting left out or behind. That's a smoking ass lie your brain's trying to tell you. All right, guys, thank you. I will see you soon. Bye, y'all.